Good morning.
Now, let me turn my mic on. Thank you for those wonderful songs. I appreciate that. It's great to be back here every other week. It's been wonderful to be a regular here. I appreciate it. Something I want to talk about this morning is our heroes. You know, we all have heroes, idols, if you will, people that we look up to, whether they are real or fictional. We all have someone that we look up to and aspire to be like. It's a natural thing for humans to have, right? But sometimes, unfortunately, those heroes can let us down, because really they're just humans also, right? And you see this when maybe your favorite sports icon gets involved with a scandal, or when you see how celebrities that you really like, how they live their everyday lives, and you realize what kind of people they are, and they can let you down. And I remember, for me, I remember the first time I learned that Tom Cruise was a part of Scientology. That was huge for me. It was a big blow. The man who was, you know, Mission Impossible, was involved in Scientology, which is just crazy. But we all have our heroes, right? People that we look up to. They can let us down sometimes. And this morning, I want to talk about one hero of the Old Testament that let their people down. I want to talk about Saul this morning. So if you will, open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel, you'll find the whole story of Saul and parts the early story of David. But you see that, you see early on that Saul is a hero. Israel loved Saul. He was a hero to them. And you see in chapter 9 and verse 17, first off, one reason that he was a hero is because he was specifically chosen by God. He was handpicked by God. In 1 Samuel 9:17, it says, "When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people.'" Also, if you look at chapter 9 and verse 2, it says there was a man named Saul, a choice and handsome man, and he was not a more handsome person, or there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people. So he was handsome, good-looking. Everybody liked him. He also had this strong presence because he was tall. He was big. He was a man's man. He was the one that people looked to as a leader, right? And also, if you look in chapter 14, and in other places too, but this is just one instance that I picked out. Chapter 14, verses 47 and 48, it says, Now when Saul had taken the kingdom over Israel, he fought against all the enemies on every side, against Moab, the sons of Ammon, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines, and wherever he turned, he inflicted punishment. He acted valiantly and defeated the Amalekites and delivered Israel from the hands of those who plundered them. He was a war hero, right? He was a patriot. He was everything that you could want out of a physical leader. That's who Saul was. He was the Israelites' hero. Now, unfortunately, Saul ended up letting Israel down. Because, and we'll get into this, but Saul did not follow God. That was his biggest problem. Saul did not follow God. He was not a spiritual leader to the people. Sure, he was a physical one, and he led them into battle and you know, made Israel successful to some extent. But he wasn't a spiritual leader because he did not follow God himself, right? And he was eventually removed from office by God because he did not follow God. And so what I want us to look at this morning is that leaders need to follow God. Amen. Our spiritual leaders must follow God. If they don't, they're not spiritual leaders. And we'll see that Saul was not a follower of God because, first off, the first instance that we see here in chapter 13 in verse 8 is that he offered his own sacrifice. Now, if you look, the people of Israel were at war with the Philistines, and they were fighting with the Philistines, and he was a part of this battle, and he wanted to have this sacrifice so that he could know whether God was on their side or not. And so he called for Samuel, the priest at the time, to come to meet him and to make this sacrifice for him. But it says now in verse 8, now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time that was set by Samuel, who was supposed to come and, you know, deliver or make this sacrifice. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering for him. So Saul said, "Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering himself. And as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." Now Samuel said, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as a ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." You see, there's a way that God wants things done, especially in worship. There's an order, right? And in the Old Testament times, in the Israelite times, under the law of Moses, right, only priests could offer sacrifices, and Saul was not a priest. He was supposed to wait for Samuel, but he had his own ideas, right? He was getting impatient, and he offered his own sacrifice. And the lesson that we can learn here, and that we can apply to our own lives, is that if you are going to be a leader, a spiritual leader of people, you need to have patience. We need to have patience as leaders. Now, there are specific positions within the church that are considered leaders, right? And not everybody really often thinks of themselves as leaders. But in all reality, all of us Christians are leaders to some extent. You know, we're not just leaders here in the church as far as, you know, the preacher, the elders, the deacons. There are other leadership roles that you can take within your own lives. And just you living your own life and trying to reach out to people in your life and reach out to people and try to bring them to Christ, that is a leadership role. It is. Because you are acting for God, right? You are kind of in a sense a mediator between these people who don't know God and God, and you are acting as a leader in that role. And so all of us as Christians, and especially as spiritual leaders, we need patience. You know, we need to follow God, and following God takes patience sometimes. You know, with the success of mega churches and more liberal community churches, there comes a temptation to water down the gospel, right, to reach more people. It seems almost like it would be easier to grow the congregation if we loosened up on some of our doctrines and some of our beliefs. And you know, there are some churches that are confronted with this dilemma. Should we stick to our guns and worry about dwindling down to nothing, or sell out, dilute our doctrines, and hopefully bring in more people? As spiritual leaders, we have to have patience. Doing it the right way sometimes takes time. If you think about Noah and how he preached his whole life while he was building the ark for so many years, and not a single person ever converted. He never converted a single person besides his family, right? He preached for, you know, years and years, trying to reach out into the community. Nobody listened to him. And that's not a failure. Sometimes that happens. And we have to have patience, right? When we are reaching out to people, we have to have patience and realize that not everybody is going to want to follow God in all that God wants us to do. But we have to stick to our guns, right? We have to stick to our doctrines, stick to our beliefs, and have that patience to persevere through the hard times. So Saul was not a follower of God because he wasn't patient, right? He was impatient. He wanted to do his own thing, really. But real leaders, real spiritual leaders are patient. Real followers of God are patient. And the second reason that Saul was not a true spiritual leader and a reason why, you know, Saul was removed from his office as king is found in chapter 15, verses 8 through 9. We see that Saul took what was not his. Now, Saul was a part of another attack. He was leading his army against the Amalekites. And it says in verse 7, again, 1 Samuel 15, verse 7, "So Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as you go to Shur, which is east of Egypt, and he captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the rest of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly, but everything despised and worthless they destroyed." Now, you have to understand that before they even went out to this fight, you see that Samuel, earlier in verse 2, says, "Thus says of the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has. Do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, oxen, sheep, camel, and donkey. Everything should have been destroyed." That was God's command to Saul and to Israel. But Saul thought to himself, I'm sure, you know, why are we getting rid of these perfectly good animals when we could take them for ourselves and use them for ourselves? He took what was not his. He didn't have integrity. You know, spiritual leaders need integrity. Followers of God are people who have integrity. And we see that, you know, the consequences for Saul's actions here is that, first off, in verse 11, the Lord says to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands." And again in verse 35, "Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, for Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had ever made Saul king over Israel." Saul, God regretted that he had made Saul king. Saul wasn't the person that he should have been. He wasn't making the decisions that he should have been as a spiritual leader because he wasn't patient and he did not have integrity, right? And also in verse 28, we see Samuel says to Saul, "The Lord has torn the kingdom Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you." And over in the next chapter, we see that Samuel anoints David, and David is now the new king who rules over Israel, and Saul is very reluctant to give up that control, but Saul is removed from his office as king because he did not have integrity. You know, following God and being a spiritual leader takes integrity, especially those people who are in leadership roles, official leadership roles here in the church. You know, elders and preachers, we need to have integrity. Just last year, there was a article in the Clovis Roundup paper. And I'll go ahead and read some of this. It says, on September 18th, 2020, a Clovis Church's former executive pastor pleaded guilty to 7 wire fraud charges of over $2 million. This preacher was preaching there, and he was embezzling money from the church. It ended up being over $2 million that he stole from the church and from other people that were going to the church. It says, Smith was in charge of the church's assets, where he collects cash, checks, and even rolled over retirement accounts for personal gain. Of course, the money was meant for mortgage payments for the church, but was used for an undisclosed real estate development project. A lot of times, especially in smaller churches, the preacher has a lot of responsibilities in the church, and one of that can be finances. And as leaders, real leaders of the church, we need to have integrity when we're dealing with those situations. This man should not have ever done that, right? He wasn't being a true spiritual leader to his congregation. He stole from the church because he did not have integrity, right? He was not a true follower of God. He wasn't following God. He was doing what he himself wanted. Now, this doesn't only apply to the preacher. You know, in the Houston Church of Christ, where that's closest to us, where we live, myself and some of the other men of the congregation or women of the congregation will take in the collection and we'll count the money and put that in the safe. And we're in charge of that as a as a congregation. But every single one of us, we need to have that integrity as in those situations, right? When we have a lot of responsibility with something, we need to have integrity. And those who and this is why we should be careful about who we give that responsibility to, who we give those leadership positions to, right? Because they need to have integrity. You need to be able to trust them. You need to be able to trust that they follow God, that they are true followers of God. What we need to understand in the end is that God is in charge and not us. And we need to follow him in all that we do. We have to recognize God's power and God's authority, and we must submit to that authority, especially as leaders of the church, but also just as Christians in general, in being a part of the congregation, just being out in the world, we need to be followers of God, and we need to submit to Christ's authority. You know, he has all power. He created everything. He is our Savior. He loves us and protects us. and we must submit to him and the things that he wants us to do and truly be followers of him if we want to be spiritual leaders in the congregation and in the community that we live in. And I hope that everyone here wants to be a spiritual leader in some way. To reach out to people in the community, to show them the good things that come with Christianity, right? But God is in charge. And so a godly leader, or simply a Christian, must follow God with patience and with integrity. We need to be followers of God. And again, being a follower takes patience and it takes integrity. And there's two takeaways that I want you to have this morning to think about. First off, be careful who your heroes are. Be careful who you're putting as a leader in your life. Be careful who you are looking up to and who you're putting as a real leadership role in your life. You know, there's a reason that Samuel didn't want a king in chapter 8. Samuel did not want the people of Israel to have a king. He wanted them to stay under the rule of the judges, which meant that the people of Israel were directly under God. God was their king. God is our king. He should be our leader, right? The one that we always look to. God is our hero. He is our savior. And he is the one we need to look to, and he is the one we need to follow, not anyone else. And as leaders, you know, being a leader myself in the church, I have to be careful that I am following God as closely as I can so that when I reach out to you guys and try to get you guys to live like Christ, that I'm not pulling you away from God and pulling you away into, you know, some other belief, but I'm pulling you as close to God as possible, and that's what all of us should do when we reach out to people. Follow God and reach out. And the second takeaway, I already got into a little bit, but just follow and obey God as a Christian. Follow God. Put aside your ego in order to lead others to him. We have to set aside ourselves to follow God. Now, if you haven't heard the invitation call, if you haven't, or I would like to extend that to you guys this morning. You know, if you haven't heard the gospel, if you don't know the salvation that God has for you, if you need anything else, if you have any needs, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.